Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mvunelo, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Zama. Good afternoon to you and your listeners. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Pastor. How have you been doing?
I'm all right, thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that, and thank you so much for joining us. Now, we have had an enlightening few weeks speaking on leadership and governance in the Grace Flow series together with you. And today, we end our time together with a lesson on leadership and vision. Quite sad, actually, that it's coming to an end. So before we wrap up our series, please highlight some of the main points we've shared over the last couple of weeks.
All right. I think we started off by defining leadership as to how we understand it to what we understand it to be.
Mm-hmm.
We said it's a calling, it's a sense of vocation.
Mm-hmm.
It has an element of vision, which is what we are discussing today.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an element of relationship that we cannot ignore, because relationships are important in leadership. So we discussed emotional intelligence as among other things to deal with how we relate to people, how we relate to the people that we are leading. And so we've looked at those and looked at how it relates to governance. So we touched quite a number of things. I was thinking with Bongi as to how many weeks it has been. I think it's almost 2 months now. We started in September. In August. In August. So it's been almost
eight sessions.
Eight or ten or somewhere close there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose we can always pick up another time, but we are glad that we have covered some of the things and engaged with you and your team.
Yes.
At some stage we had Derek, at some stage we had Bongi herself, the leader herself.
Exactly.
And we had quite a number with you where we dealt with some of the topics. So it's always been great to interact with you guys.
Lovely.
You and I have worked on a couple of interviews together.
Yeah.
But it's been great. It's been a great journey working with you. It's been wonderful to engage with you, and some of the engagements have even broadened our understanding of what we were presenting.
Oh yes, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So it's been a fruitful journey. And so we ended with vision, because I believe that's the heart, the real heart of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have vision, there's no leadership. What are you leading them to? What are you leading them for if there's no vision? Yeah.
Well, now, Pastor, thank you so much. And we're going to be diving into this, leadership and vision, and of course, leadership and communication as well. So vision and communication, as they pertain to vision. Please take us through vision.
Yeah, so vision is the imagination of the future. It's got to start obviously from either the history, the current, to the future. So when you talk vision, you must be able to say, where are we from?
Yep.
Where are we, and where do we want to be?
Mm-hmm.
So those things, it's very important for leaders to understand the history of the organization, or if you please, the history of whatever they are leading. For example, if you are talking about a vision for the family, you've got to understand where is the family from. We've spent for the past 2 years or so, as Mvunelo, as an example, trying to understand our history. Where do we come from? We've traced our history to the 1840s in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We've looked at who we are, what we were, who are our predecessors, what's our genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
And we've looked at where we are, and we've crafted where we want to be in the future. We are in the process now of finalizing that stage. So wherever I've worked, for example, I've always wanted to understand what is the history of this organization, because it makes no sense for me to pull a vision or put a vision or think of a vision without history.
Right.
Where are they from? Where are we coming from? So that we are able to then say, is this where we want to be? Is that the be all now? Is that the end of it now? And do we have any reason to aspire for the future? I've looked at the way God operates even in scripture.
Mm.
God operates with a particular eternal vision that he wants to pursue. And he starts from there. I mean, the Bible keeps telling us this from before the foundations.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an original plan. There was a plan that God was driving even before that. Where is the plan now? Why does Jesus Christ need to die? Why do we see Jesus Christ dying in the first place? Why do we see him coming into the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And where do we want to be in the future? So we see John celebrating this in Revelation 21. See, God is now with humanity.
Mm.
He's with man, to use the old King James Version language. He's with man. He's arrived at his plan.
Mm-hmm.
So why is he celebrating? Because he knows where he took this from.
Yeah.
Where he has been, or where he in the time of Christ was, and now where it has reached its final destination. So vision articulates a destination. Vision articulates a direction, articulates a trajectory we want to reach.
Mm.
So without which we cannot make sense. So for me, if you do not have at the heart of leadership vision, then you better sit down. Because what are you going to lead us to?
Yeah.
What are you going to lead for?
Mm.
So even if you take short-term leadership terms as an example.
Yeah.
So you take 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. Where are we? Where do we want to be? Where do we want to be at the beginning of that term? Where do we want to be at the end of that term, so that we can drive towards that, becomes important.
Now, Pastor, can I come in?
Yeah.
I heard you saying with vision, you've got to look at history, suggesting that without history, there cannot be vision?
You could create it, but history gives you a perspective.
Okay.
And it gives you an indication of what your success chances are.
Mm.
If you are in an organization, in a situation or a country that does not have any prospect of success because of the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. I've been looking at the Arabs.
Yeah.
Studying them, looking at the way they work. They are very clear. Their country has a disadvantage. They are a desert. They have never been anything else. The only things that they know they have is historically the oil and whatever else that they have.
Yeah.
So they build on the basis of that history and say, okay, what is it that we can do? Can we do some of the things that we want to realize?
Mm.
If you don't have that history, if you don't have the historical perspective, your challenges are going to be many. So the historical perspective gives you a prism through which you look at the future vision.
Mm.
If you don't have that, you are groping in the dark. If you don't have an understanding of where you are, where you come from, where you are, your chances of success are going to be ill-advised, ill-informed, and groping in the dark, as I say. So it's always important to understand your history. So, for example, your history as the Malote family.
Yeah.
What kind of people have you been historically? What kind of people were you in the past becomes also important. So as much as you can create it without history, but it gives you a better chance of success because you will understand. I remember coming into an organization. I was a youth director in the Cape Conference, and I wanted to understand what is youth ministries in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Went into its history, got to understand 1907, got to understand 1950, got to understand everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could stand now because of the vision, mm. I mean, because of
the
that
bedrock.
History,
mm.
and articulate a particular vision. The same mm-hmm. thing I did when I came to Gauteng at Kelvin.
Mm.
I had to understand what Kelvin is trying to do, what Kelvin is about.
Mm.
What were they trying to do all these years? Because that history helps you to articulate a relevant vision. And if you don't have it, it then hampers your growth. What are the pitfalls from history? What are the difficulties that they've experienced in history? What are the things that they were unable to realize? Then you are able to articulate. So I'm suggesting, rather than simply scraping off the future you don't know,
mm-hmm.
start do an analysis of the organization. Start doing a historical analysis, a mm-hmm. contemporary mm-hmm. analysis of where you are. If you are wanting to take your family from a point zero to the point 100%,
mm-hmm.
you've got to understand what you are, what dangers you are getting to. You might be wanting to get them to 200% and just be stuck at 1%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an important aspect for me from my experience, rather than just coming in. So that's why for me this system of 100 days becomes important. Let me take time to understand the 100 days. You are trying to craft the vision, but you are also trying to study the history.
I see.
And so on. So when you stand now to articulate it, you are in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
So in most instances, when I've stood to articulate the vision, they say, aha, that's what we were looking for. That's what we were trying to do.
Yeah,
that's what we were wanting to realize. And so that is helpful.
Now, I heard you make a phrase, or you using a phrase, relevant vision. And quite interesting, actually, to note that. And I'm wondering if invariably there would be vision that is not relevant.
It's very possible. It has been done. We've seen it. We've seen people who are misaligned with the organization, or visions that are misaligned, that are not in line with a particular organization, mm. that are irrelevant to the organization because people have not taken the time to understand. And so because you are misaligned with the organization, then some of the things you do will not necessarily be in line with the culture of the organization, in line with the ethos of the organization, in line with the aspirations of the organization. Remember, when you are doing history, you are also trying to understand the aspirations of this particular organization,
mm, mm.
or the particular organizations that you are creating. You are taking to the future.
Mm.
So it's important that you align with the aspirations,
even
just aspirations, even the needs, understanding the needs, because you may be addressing something that we are not wanting to address at this particular time, or you might be addressing something we don't want to address at all, and it gives you ammunition when you have that history. It makes you relevant. You are able to be an expert. You are able to articulate the vision better because it is relevant to this organization, this organization's DNA. I'll give you an example just to illustrate.
Right.
Some of the people do not understand that the Adventist Church is the most progressive organization. It's the most progressive religious organization. Mm-hmm. Again, you have in the Adventist Church, and many people think it's the most conservative, and they come up with conservative visions and conservative ideas. Mm. The Adventist Church is the most progressive in this way. There is no organization that, for example, on every 5 years, and I use this example, every 5 years, throws its theology, throws its procedures, throws its policies away and starts from scratch. Mm-hmm. Every 5 years, they go to session, they go and understand, what are we about? What do we want to become? What is our theology? What is our essence? What is it we are driving? So they spend time trying to do that. So if you are a conservative person, you tend to come with a misaligned progression into the future because you don't understand what organization you are leading. And so it's important in another session in Cape Town, I was saying to them, if you are a new bride into the house, don't start moving dishes in this house without understanding how things operate here, how people feel about certain things, how people have understood themselves, because you're going to disturb people, you're going to make people uncomfortable. Understand what they are so that you can become relevant to what you are trying to realize.
Very important. Now, the vision itself, because other people come into organizations that have got a vision already. You know, one becomes a pastor and then is employed. That's an example. Or maybe one joins an organization and becomes a CFO or CEO of that particular organization. Now, can a vision be given to someone to say, here's a vision that we have, please run with it? Or should a leader craft out his own vision?
That's exactly why you do that that assessment, that historical analysis. What is there? What is already here? If you find that there's already a clearly articulated vision, then you work with that. If there is none, then you have to create it, because you can't lead an organization without a vision. So, it's the heart of leadership.
So effectively, you can be given a vision to say, here is a vision, but we already have it, you can now run with this.
Yes, you can work with that.
I see.
If there's clarity on where this organization wants to go, don't go and reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. Go and understand where they want to go and how you can take them forward.
I see.
So it's not so vision is not necessarily that you must always create it if there is.
Aha.
You can work with what you have. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you will identify some of the key areas you are able to contribute towards and say, okay, this I'm able to do, this I'm not able to do, this I'm able to do within this time frame, and this one I'm able to do within, I'm going to do it as a long, long, long term part of my plan. So a pastor or a CFO or a CEO comes into an organization, let's say comes into a Zama Malote organization and says, all right, what is it they're trying to do? All right, assessment. Because they brought you in for a particular reason. They brought you in to bring about a particular vision.
Yeah.
And so you then engage them from that perspective, and they engage you from that perspective. Because again, this is again the issue of relevance you were raising earlier. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you are going to say to them, I've done it. I've finished it. And they ask you, what have you finished? And then you say, I finished my vision. I said, but that's not, they would say to you, that's not the vision we were trying to pursue. You have been misaligned. You've been irrelevant.
Yeah,
you have taken a different direction than what we wanted to realize. Go back again and start all over. Can you see that wasteful exercise that you've done if you have not assessed where they want to go? And that has happened, and that has been a wasteful period of your life. It's a wasteful period for the organization, Because Zama's organization wanted to reach a certain goal, and you have reached your goals. You are offline. And you've wasted your time, you've wasted their time, their resources and everything else. So it's critical that you spend time understanding, even if it means taking the organization's existing vision, put it together, pull it together, and push it through.
Now, Pastor, very quickly as we wrap up, we've spoken about the vision, and let's talk about briefly the communication leg of this subject.
Yeah. So once you have once you have a vision, it's important to you. I mean, for you as a leader, and even as an organization or as a unit, whether it's a company, country, or anything, to articulate that vision. Because how do we know that there's a vision if you don't articulate it, if you don't communicate it? I always say that leadership, in my view, is 75% communication. I'm thumbsucking it, obviously. I don't have statistical evidence, but I'm looking at the way you have to put everything. You've got to always communicate in leadership. You've got to encapsulate this vision and say, this is what we are doing. Whether this is vision 2030, this is vision 2050, this is vision 2100, you are able, you've got to articulate it. You've got to continually inspire the people. You've got to continually remind the people. You've got to always keep it in front of the people. Whatever you do, you've got to say, this is what we are pursuing.
Can I then ask you, I do apologize for that.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Interjection. That's fine. Because I want to just get through this, and I'm aware that our time is also far spent. Now, I'm talking about, I want to just dig into this communication issue very briefly. And I want to just pick up an example of what came out, I think, today or yesterday in the news. President Ramaphosa, we know, that has visited Russia for the BRICS summit. And as he speaks there, he makes a statement that Russia is a valuable ally and friend to South Africa. Now, this has irked
the West,
the DA, particularly John Steenhuisen, but then wrote on social media that, well, as the DA, we distance ourselves, definitely not our ally. Now, clearly, there's a issue of either a miscommunication of the vision or misunderstanding. What's your view there? Or the vision was not even discussed. I don't know. Your assessment as an expert in this regard?
I think there are two things. There is a need for even partners such as coalition partners to understand the partnership and the terms thereof. Because you can't get into a partnership where you do not understand the allies of the different parties. You can't get into a coalition or a partnership without understanding. I mean, it's like your wife speaking a different language to you or different vision to you, because you have not spoken to each other, you've not communicated to each other. How do you then continue working together when you do not even agree? Jesus says, how can the two walk together if they don't agree? If within South Africa there's disagreement about the allies, the partners, then what are we doing together?
Yeah, because it then seems that perhaps we don't understand the vision in the same way, or maybe this vision was never even communicated in the first place.
Yes, so there may be those factors. There may be those problems. But we knew, I mean, before this happened, that the two parties you mentioned were on different pages in many things, in many respects. I mean, education, they're on different pages. So what then happens in a government of national unity or a situation of this partnership is going to have to be sit down, talk, how do we deal with ABC? How do we manage your Russian partners? How do we manage your particular policy on education? How do we manage your economic policy? How do we manage? So you don't just jump into bed without understanding those dynamics if you are going to work together effectively. So that communication becomes critical. You're pointing a very good example to say, guys, now, when we stand there, what are we going to say? What are we going to speak on? Are we going to have these instances, multiple instances, where we say we're distancing ourselves? Or are we going to have instances where we say, all right, what is our compromise here? So we've got to agree on those. We've got to communicate our expectations. We've got to communicate our understanding. And we've got to communicate and reveal to each other's understanding our different positions on different things. So it without communication, it leads to friction. So even when you are married, you've got to continually communicate. You've got to continually communicate. You've got to always engage. Conflict comes from time to time, from one side to the other, because you are not on the same page. You are not, there's nothing wrong with being not on the same page, but to stand together with a different perspective becomes challenging. We look at you and we say, what's wrong with both of you?
Well,
but that's the importance of communication. You pointed a good example to illustrate the point that it may lead to conflict. It may lead to misalignment. It may lead to tensions within the partnerships.
Lovely. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much. I think there's a lot that we could actually dig on in this topic. But hey, our time is fast spent. I must thank you very much and quite grateful that you have made time over the last 2 months to actually speak to us and to engage with us in as far as the Grace Flow series is concerned, leadership and governance. Bless you, Pastor, and may the Lord walk with you all the way.
Blessings to you and your listeners. It's been a wonderful time we've had over the past 2 months to engage with you. Thank you very much. Thanks to Bongi, and thanks to everyone else that is part of this partnership.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.